I want to start off just by asking a young lady to come and share up. I've been sharing on a week ago or 2 weeks ago about repentance, and I shared from the account of the prodigal son, how the father ran off the porch to meet him. And this young lady, Shay, gave me some revelation I've never heard before, but I'd rather that you hear it straight from her mouth. So Shay, sitting at the back there, thank you for coming up to share the revelation that God has given you, yeah, about the father running towards the son, yeah.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. This is fun. I remember a little while ago, I heard cultural context behind what Andrew had spoken about. And when he mentioned it, it reminded me of it. So I thought I'd share it with you today. It was about how during the time, men didn't run. They would have to lift up their garments, show their legs. It was humiliating for them to run. They would have to humble themselves to run. And so when the son came back and he had humbled himself and he had gone to the place of repentance, the father ran to him. But culturally, there's a different reason as to why he was running. During that time, if somebody had dishonored their family, they had brought shame, which asking for your inheritance early is a very big thing that would have done that. You would go run back into your house, find a piece of pottery. You would run to the person, smash it at their feet to disown them and show them shame. And God runs to you to meet you with grace before the world can meet you with shame.
Thanks, Shay. Isn't it amazing how God wants to cover us, to embrace us, whether the world can stand behind and ridicule us, but God wants to give us his unconditional love. As you've been sharing about that God is at work, do you know that God is at work in your life right now? He's doing a powerful work in your life right now. And the scripture we've been looking at is the Philippians 2:13. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. So we have the ability to reject what God is trying to do in our life. And if you're like me, you know that God gently... Sorry, can we just turn the mic down a touch, please? Yeah, thank you. That God gently works in us. He doesn't push us or force us. He almost, in a sense, tries to draw us. And then we read in Philippians 1:6 again, and we're looking at a lot of scriptures in Philippians. Being confident of this, that he began a good work in you, will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Isn't it amazing that God is at work today, continually, until he brings it to completion? And just as a case with Joshua, as a parent initiates, he sustains and brings to completion. That's when you allow him to work in your life. The question is, do you allow him to come and work in your life? So no matter what we're facing right now, no matter what situation you're in, whether you... if in the surfing context, riding in a tube and enjoying life, or you sitting and you're on the rocks, whatever it is, God is doing a great work in your life. The thing is, we mustn't lean on our own understanding. Because when we lean on our own understanding, it's all over the place. But when we trust in the Lord and position ourselves on a rock, we become firm, secure, and we understand I have a purpose and a destiny, and nothing and no man can separate me from that. As that song says, no power of hell or scheme of man can rob me of what God wants to do. And we become like David, and we can say this, in the midst of pain and even difficulty, I remain confident of this, I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I will see the goodness of the Lord in South Africa. Thank you for praying for South Africa. Wait for the Lord. Be strong, take heart, and wait for the Lord. Because my faith is not in man, but my faith is what God is doing. Now, we understand, and we're going to have communion at the end of the service, that our faith has nothing to do with our obedience. There's nothing, I'm sorry, our salvation, as we heard that Joshua's name means the Lord saves. Our salvation has nothing to do with our obedience. It's only what he did, his obedience. So there's nothing we can do to get saved or lose salvation except this, that we believe in Jesus and what he's done on the cross. But today I want to share about obedience that moves heaven, that when we become obedient to what God is doing in our life, something supernatural can take part in your life. I don't know about you. I don't want to live a natural life. I want to live a supernatural life. And when we open ourselves to God, and I want to give you the picture for, again from Philippians, and we can read it here, from Philippians chapter 2. And it's talking about Jesus, who being very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used for his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing. By taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. And if that's where it ended, it would be depressing. We were chatting, we were sitting in a lounge and having some friends over, and the person sharing was quite high up in the company, but was willing to go down and pick up the rubbish in the office. And somebody asked him, why are you doing that? He said, we're always called to serve. And we see God himself become a human being, become nothing, and he takes on the very nature of a servant, humbled himself and becoming obedient. That is a call for every one of us as believers, no matter where we are in life, to think less of ourselves, more about others, humbling ourselves, serving, and becoming obedient. But this, let's see where it ends now. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place. Therefore, heaven moved. God exalted him to the highest place and gave them the name above every other name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to God, to the glory of God the Father. So we see Jesus humbled himself, became nothing, became obedient, even to die on the cross for us. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place. And then in that obedience, heaven was moved. So we have this free gift of salvation that we just receive by believing and declaring. But when we walk in our lives, and David, we quoted you a few weeks back as something you shared with Michelle up front, that how do we find God's purpose? It's simple, easy. Just ask God. The hard part is now going and doing what he told you to do. But when we do what he tells us to do, that's where we walk on water. That's where we see the supernatural. We can do things on our own, and we probably can do reasonably well. But when we do it with God, we do supernaturally well. The key is simply putting his word into practice, as Alani was sharing, the Great Commission. The key is recognizing his voice and following it. That when we hear his voice and follow it, we see change. Did you know that God speaks today to you? Whether you are a believer, whether you're here today because someone brought you, that God has been speaking to you right from a young age. And he's calling you, he's wooing us for us to move. Let's talk about a man, Abraham, in the Bible. I'm sure we know that story well. God calls him out of a foreign land and says, I'm taking you to a new land. And off he goes. There's a promise about a nation that will be birthed through you that will bless every nation on this planet. And through your seed, all nations will be blessed. He has this powerful calling on his life. In fact, this is long before the law of Moses ever came. Thou shalt not, and we know all the laws. Long before that. And we know that even in the journey, Abraham gets tested many times, but he follows God's ways. And what's amazing about Abraham, the blessing remained on him. And this is before the law. And we'll read in Genesis 22, 16 to 18. And this is the angel speaking. I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of cities of the enemies, and through your offspring all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me. Again, in Genesis 26, 4 and 5, I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and I will give you all these lands, and through your offspring all nations on earth will be blessed, because Abraham obeyed me and did everything I required of him, keeping my commands, my decrees and instructions. Imagine this nation turned to God and said, we want to follow God's ways. how God can turn a nation around. And I've shared on the revival that happened in Fiji, where Fiji was in a mess, the waters were polluted, the reefs were empty. A nation turned to God so powerfully that they saw the fish coming back on the ocean. Poisonous rivers were cleaned, and a nation was turned round. And we see them today in rugby still, and they have the scripture, I can do all things through him who gives me strength. And when they hold that rugby ball up, God changed the nation. He can do it the same here. The question was Abraham ever disobedient? Where God was leading this way, and he said, no, actually, I'm going to go this way. Anybody identify with that? I want to have a confession later of something that I did like that in my life, where I knew God was pushing me this way, but I said, I'm going this way. And yes, he did. I believe he did. It's not clear in scripture, but we know that famine broke out in the land of Canaan, where God had sent him. We don't see in scripture that Abraham sought the Lord, but we know he went off to Egypt. It seemed like the right thing to do. The river Nile was there, there was food there, and there was no food in the land, and off he went. Did God really tell him to go? It seemed right. The motivation was self-preservation, but it led to fear and deception. That he started to lie about his wife. In fact, he did it twice in his life, and his son also followed in the same footsteps. That often when we don't follow God and obey him, we can find ourselves into fear and deception. And we can even have that in our own marriage, where we keep things from one another out of fear or deception, because we find that we're becoming disobedient in things, and we start to hide things. But when we bring into the light and allow God to work in us, he can bring change. We see the account of Ishmael being born as well to Abraham, and the problems that has caused through all the years. And it's sad, because there is a consequence, sadly, to disobedience. But God is a God of restoration. And I want to share a quick testimony of something that happened to me many years ago, of how I went on my own way and how God restored it wonderfully. I was a youth pastor in Durban North, and we noticed that in the Gateway Shopping Center, parents were dropping kids off with 500 rand, saying, here we go have some fun, we're going to go have some fun. And left the kids in the shopping center. And a whole lot of stuff was happening. Stuff was being caught on camera. So we met with the Gateway Shopping Center. We met with them. And we decided we were going to do an event called Floodgates. And we wanted to reach the youth of that area. And we had our first event. And it was a great success. We got to preach the gospel to all these teenagers, all these young people. And God moved powerfully, touched lives. It was so good. And then I thought, I'm doing another one. I didn't even go to God. And this December that same year, we did another one. And I spent a lot more money, or believe God, and it got rained out completely. And I remember sitting under they had these skate ramps, and a lot of the guys in my youth were all big skaters. And I sat under this ramp, and I realized I'd just done this without even asking God. And I sat under the ramp, and I realized I'm going to be sitting with about 50,000 rand debt from this event. And I was thinking, now what? Ever been in that place before? And you think, I got myself here. God didn't. I got myself here. And I repented, and I went back to my leadership of the church, and I shared what happened, and we had some money from the youth funds that helped cover the costs, and the church graciously gave me a check for the missing amounts, the shortfall. And then I sought the Lord again, and we said, we're going to do another one. And we sought, we prayed, and we sought the Lord. And we had another one the following year, and we had about the youth tripled. We had an amazing event. And I was able to go back to the church and said, here's a check. But it's funny, though, when we choose not to do things God's way, we end up in trouble. But when we choose to align ourselves, it's like the whole of heaven's there with you. And isn't a wonderful picture with Claudia, Sven, and Joshua here with the family around? You're not on your own. We're with you. Can you imagine the whole of heaven behind you? Because God has put that inside you, and now you're acting, and God said, I'm going to give you the resources of heaven to do this. The question is, what is the dream? What is God putting inside you that needs to come out? Sham, what is the dream that God's put inside you that needs to come out? Because it's scary if you get told what to do. But when God says, I'm there, I'm going to do it with you. I'm going to do it through you. I'm going to prepare you for it. Going back to the story of Abraham, Do you know that Sarah laughed twice, once inwardly and once outwardly? Now, Sarah is Abraham's wife. She was 90 years old. The Bible says her womb was dead. There was no chance of a son or even a daughter. And God told her, you're going to have a child. And she laughed inwardly. And God said to her, why are you laughing? And she lied. I wasn't. But you know, the second time she laughed was when Isaac was born. And she laughed outwardly. And I think the same is true about us. When God tells us what he wants to do, inwardly we're going, no way, it's not me. I remember my first time I walked in church. It's quite daunting. If anybody's walked in church for the first time today, maybe you felt the same. But you walked into church for the first time there. And I remember standing there and I had to sit somewhere in front. And a guy came off the stage and said, you, God says you're called to be a leader in the church. And I felt, no, I haven't captained any sports. I haven't done anything in terms of leadership. But you can look back now and laugh because you realize God did it. Sarah laughed because she realized that God had been good to her and given her a son. So my question to you today is, what is God saying to you? And are you, as David shared, have the courage to say, I'm taking that step? What is God saying to you today? But I also want to say to you, if you're out of line, if you've chosen to go your own way, maybe it's your whole life, maybe you just haven't included God in it, God is calling you. He's trying to woo you to himself because he says, I've got a good plan for your life. What I have in store for you is good, pleasing, and perfect. I can restore, make it whole again, that you too can laugh. Laugh at the days to come. So I'd like to just end with a prayer, and then I'm going to ask Yvonne to come up and just facilitate communion for us today. Can I ask you to open your hearts today to God? Let's just take a bit of time. Let's just open our hearts to God and let's allow God to work in our hearts. Maybe you want to ask the question, Lord, where have I been out of line with you? And Father, I'd ask that as we just spend this time now, Lord, that you will reveal to us, Lord, you are the Father that runs off the porch, humiliates himself to get to us because you love us. And Father, I just pray if there's anyone here today that needs a touch from you, Lord, that they will experience it right now. Father, I ask that you expose the lie that the enemy's been saying, you're not good enough, you're not going to make it, God won't touch your life. I dispel that lie, Lord, and thank you for your truth, where you say the righteous will never be forsaken. I was young and now I'm old, yet I've never seen the righteous forsaken. We just speak blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, Yvonne. Yeah.
Thank you. It's a privilege to be able to lead you all in communion today. And as you know, I'm going to be reading from 1 Corinthians, verse 11.